Hey guys, it's me, Brian, once again with another podcast. One thing you'll probably notice is that this podcast is not coming out on Friday. It's actually coming out on a Monday. I had a lot of thinking I could actually get done this week while I was frantically trying to do stuff, and realized that maybe this once a week podcast about my weekly life as a developer in the city would probably be better if I came out on Monday. So I have decided to forego doing Fridays and now doing Mondays, so that way I can have the weekend to do some editing and some last minute preparing. Also, being able to encompass an actual full week, Monday through Friday, rather than a Wednesday to Wednesday, which is what I was doing before. That's more inside baseball. That's not really necessary for me to explain, even though I just did. But I do have good news. We are now on iTunes. This is now an iTunes podcast. Some people might have noticed that there's a link on the header of the Disc Developing Story website, and we have a link to iTunes. You can now download it to iTunes. I am currently working on getting on Stitcher because I enjoy Stitcher a lot, and I just think that would be cool to be on there. And so if you're a Stitcher person, just sit tight, and I'm starting to do the paperwork to get that going on. It's not really paper. It's on. But yeah, regardless, hope you enjoyed this episode. It is a normal episode, just like every episode's normal. And just going over what I've done for the week. Been pretty busy working on code, actually getting more than just bugs started. And I'm looking forward to continuing that process of getting onboarded into my new career with Block. All right, guys, hope you enjoy episode 5 of this developing story. So, here it is, week 5. Definitely picking up some speed, looking pretty good as far as establishing here with code and work, and definitely enjoying it. I've no doubt it's been a great decision of mine to actually make the jump into this next level of developing. I don't think sitting here right now, I don't think I would know as much as I have, or have the opportunity to know as much as I could, you know, if I did stay in Florida. I might be wrong on that, but that's just my personal opinion. There's definitely a lot more going on in San Francisco, and for me being a new developer, I think this is definitely a good place for me to be. Not really saying that if you're a new developer, you need to be in San Francisco. That's not the case. But with my personality and my drive and determination to be really good at what I do, I'm finding that this is definitely an awesome decision I made. I spent this past weekend doing a course on Angular. Definitely got up to speed very quickly doing that course. I pretty much know not the ins and outs, but I know enough to debug any Angular issues that we have here at work. To debug an issue yesterday, was able to figure that out just from the little knowledge that I do have in Angular now. I don't think I would be able to or want to build an Angular app at this point, but I could definitely work in it. So yeah, I'm excited for the different meetups I've been able to attend so far. I've attended three so far, including the workshop that I did. And it was quite interesting. I came off a Node meetup last night. And not that I do a ton of Node, but the amount of Node that I've done, it was enough that I understood every concept that was presented. Just the sheer talent of people that are in this city, and the things that they do and present at the meetups, I'm just blown away at. There's a guy who gave a talk on being able to something to do with research, medical research. He has an app that was just pretty fascinating, Simpatico Health or Med. I'm gonna put it in the show notes for you guys, but that was a pretty awesome app. The guy had no real background. He had a background in computer science, but he hasn't really coded in a good like 15 years. So his new jump into coding actually involved JavaScript and Node. And he figured, you know, if he could learn, he knew a little bit of JavaScript, so he figured if he knew some JavaScript, he can kind of build something. And this is his determination and his experience in building this Node app that he threw together. I was pretty impressed, to say the least. So, I mean, I think I was impressed enough that to think that if this guy spent a couple months relearning how to program and learn how to do web developing in something as new as Node, with all the hangups that Node has, you know, that's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to some of the projects that I have, finishing those off out here and kind of sharing those with the world. Currently working on a project with Steamrollers. I am on the finishing line as far as getting it to an MVP state. It's taken longer than I thought it would have with the move and preparing to move and doing interviews across the country. I am definitely in a place where I can now work on this code exclusively, and I've got a lot of help. I don't think I mentioned on the podcast, but there's a guy who's part of the in Ember community. He's did an awesome talk on the community as a whole and working in communities, and he does some free pairing sessions for Ruby and for Ember, and I've gotten a lot of help with him, being able to pair with him and get some answers and some things that wasn't so clear with Ember. There's not as much documentation as Ruby for sure, and there's definitely a learning curve with Ember. So some things that would be very easy and natural with me in Rails, Ember, I need a lot of help in Ember, basically. But I wanted to do this project in Ember for the simple fact that I wanted to learn a new technology. I didn't want to keep this doing the same thing over and over again. You know, I could be pretty comfortable in Rails and do that, but I wanted to have the opportunity to do something that would expand my knowledge right now. So people, you know, are using Rails on the back end and using like Angular on the front. And more people are realizing that Rails is definitely really good for APIs. But large projects, there's always been a need for, I'm just speaking as a noob in what I know. So this is not 100% definite, but there's definitely a need for once people get to large apps. It was apparent in my last company. It's apparent in the company I'm here and their code. You know, there's certain things that don't need to be in Rails, and that could actually be, that could probably live a lot nicer in a front end JavaScript framework or in a separate component. And, I think you would do yourself a big disservice if you just thought that maybe you could do Rails for your entire career and not have to learn anything else. But with that being said, front-end JavaScript frameworks, I highly recommend learning one of them, whatever one it is. I know a lot of people are really strong in their opinions on which one you should know. I'm not in that camp. I think I like Ember a lot. I'm definitely a pro Ember person, but I think Angular has some pretty cool things in it. And I think Angular has a lot of information out there to help you get started rather quickly. It's been around a little longer. And same thing with Backbone and you name whatever. Meteor is another framework that's pretty awesome. It's still earlier, a lot newer than Ember, but you know, it's got some pretty cool things to do, and I hear it's a lot easier to start up from scratch with Meteor. So definitely I encourage people, you know, once you're comfortable in Rails or JavaScript or whatever your main programming tool of choice, and expand to other things. So I wanted to, with that being said, you know, talking about frameworks and all that other stuff and, you know, me dabbling into new things, I heard a podcast, Zed Shaw actually talked about on the Code Newbie podcast. I believe it was Zed Shaw. I'll have to go back and confirm that in the show notes, but talked about being comfortable in the languages, and I don't think he gave a number of being comfortable in at least four languages. You know, what are your four languages that you're comfortable in, most comfortable in, that you can actually go back and forth through? And it got me thinking a while ago that, you know, I was only on the JavaScript and Ruby track for a while, and I didn't have any desire to really learn outside of that for a long time. I did dabble in Swift and Objective-C and doing iOS, but I just didn't, you know, I didn't pick it up that quickly, and I just kind of walked away from it for a little bit. But it got to me thinking, you know, maybe I should have that goal of learning four different languages. So I am on that track to learn those languages. I think I'm going to go ahead and pick up iOS again to make sure I have that another statically typed language like Objective-C or even Swift, being able to know that. I think I would count Objective-C and Swift as one language, with that being iOS. And I have been dabbling in Go. I had to put that on hold because I knew I was going to be switching over to a new company. So the little bit of Go that I did, I had to stop. But I think Go is going to be my fourth language. So this coming up this year, and it's included in my goals for 2015, I'm definitely going to be learning Go, and I'm definitely going to be learning iOS. So those are going to be my two goals. Those are going to be my focuses for meetups. Here in the city, you know, I think there's a lot of experts in those two areas, especially here in the Bay Area. So I think I'm going to try to try to nab down a mentor or somebody that can kind of show me the ropes. And we had this conversation about mentors on the Code Newbie discussion forum. And most people are kind of, you know, you think that if you are looking for a mentor, you need to, like, you know, give them an application or a special form or whatnot, or, you know, ask them formally, hey, would you like to be my mentor? Sort of like if we were dating. But in the past, I've always, if I needed a mentor, like when I was in sales, I would just ask that person tons of questions and kind of gauge their responses. And if they were okay with answering my questions, they were my mentor without them even knowing. So I think I'm going to use that same approach. You know, I don't think I need to formally, officially ask somebody to be my mentor. But if I find someone out here, you know, I've met quite a few people here at the meetups, just kind of, you know, sharing my story and listening to theirs and asking them questions. I haven't found anybody, you know, that in the right technology that I think I could, you know, start harassing with questions, but I think I'm pretty close. I've been going to a lot of meetups lately, so hopefully I'll meet somebody in the city that is going to be, that's going to fit my criteria for someone that could help me to the rest of the way. And, you know, if it's buying them lunch or, you know, sharing a cup of coffee, I think whatever I can do to get to that next level, I think it's going to be good. So I wanted to talk less about code and more about the city on this last section. There's something I've noticed a lot. You know, coming out to San Francisco, I was a little bit worried as far as there's a big discrepancy or a class, I guess you can call it, between tech and the rest of the city. There's definitely a negativity towards people in tech, and the cause of the rise in rent and the other stuff that's been happening in result to, you know, a big tech boom happening here in the city. You know, Google and Apple and all their employees all live in the city, and then they commute down to Silicon Valley. And even Silicon Valley has got their woes as far as housing prices and homelessness and all that other stuff. And, you know, it's kind of weird to be in a position, you know, I'm getting paid very well, and there's so many people out there on the streets that aren't, you know, in a good position. And it's something that's really been on in the back of my mind as, you know, I walk to work and, you know, I'm enjoying, you know, a comfortable life. I mean, I don't have to worry about, you know, how I'm going to get my lunch the next morning, or if I need breakfast or clothes or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are in that situation that just don't know what's in store for them. And I've had the opportunity to stay in an Airbnb. I've recently switched from Oakland. I'm actually staying in the city now, and in the Mission District, which is probably has the highest population of homelessness or density of homelessness in the city. But there's a lot of what I did not know is that there's actually a lot of help that's actually been happening as far as homelessness. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of organizations that are reaching out to these people, even though, you know, I'm not sure. I don't want to speak negatively against all the tech companies. I don't know if they're involved with that or not. You know, I'm still new in the city. I don't really know what's going on, but I know in the house that I'm staying in, there's some other people staying there also, and they're part of an organization called Reimagine. And they're reimagining homelessness, and they're helping out in the community, one-on-one, actually talking to the people in the community that are homeless and reaching out and, you know, getting to know their story and getting to know what they need. And I believe that this group is actually doing really awesome things. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for their organization. And if you guys are interested, you know, if you want to donate to them, I spoke to one of the leaders and he really impressed me with what they were doing. And once, you know, I start getting established, I haven't got my first paycheck yet, but I definitely am going to be giving donations to this charity, because again, I was very impressed with what they were doing. And I think if, you know, I hope to share the news of that organization more people in person in the city. And I would like to shed a positive light on, you know, at least one person in tech, which is myself, actually doing something different about this. And again, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but it shouldn't really matter what everybody else is doing, to be honest. It's what am I doing? And that's me, what am I doing personally? So, you know, the question to yourself is, what are you doing? You know, you might not have homelessness or problems in your local neighborhood or whatnot, but, you know, I would like to, you know, think of myself as trying to make the world in a better place. And I figured I'd use those the last part of this podcast to go ahead and mention that, you know. It's awkward. It's, you know, there's definitely a lot of homeless people, and there's a lot of homeless people that have, you know, even mental health issues that need extra help that most people don't even look them in the eye. And hopefully as I get more comfortable in the city, I'll be able to be comfortable enough to, you know, reach out to an organization and even give my time with them. So with that being said, that's all I had for the podcast, but I just wanted to use that last section to speak about that.